Thank goodness the bye week is officially in the books. We're back. Ravens football. And what a bye week it was for the Ravens. Welcome to the Ravens Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Njoku. Huge, huge week for the Ravens. And they didn't even play. We'll talk all about that big, big week for the Ravens, bye week. A lot of teams that the Ravens were rooting for won. A lot of teams that the Ravens were rooting against lost. We'll talk all about that. We'll move ahead to a big week for the Ravens. Two Los Angeles games and back-to-back weeks. Chargers first, now the Rams. They move over to the Ravens. So it'll be a West-East Coast trip for those Los Angeles Rams. We'll touch on that. We'll have the Ravens Talk mailbox. We have some fans. We have some questions, and we'll get into. But first, what a bye week. I mean, thinking about it logistically, this might be the greatest bye week in the history of the Ravens organization. I mean, Chiefs lost. Jaguars lost. Browns lost. Steelers lost. The Ravens stood fast. I mean, the Dolphins did win. So now, as we speak, the Dolphins are the number one seed, but there's a Week 17 matchup between the Dolphins and Ravens, which will likely decide the number one seed. So that's taking care of itself. The Ravens are in prime position. That week couldn't have gone any better for the Ravens, unless, of course, the Dolphins had lost. But they move on. The Ravens, gotta love it. I'm sure the Ravens were excited, to say the least. The Bengals look good. I mean, Jake Browning came in opposite Joe Burrow, who was lost for the season due to that Ravens contest. So Jaguars were a little shaky. Of course, Trevor Lawrence went down with what they're calling a high ankle sprain. So Ravens fans will need to look at that as that game between the Jaguars and Ravens approaches. But yeah, the Jaguars looked a little sloppy on defense. Bengals took advantage, and the Jaguars moved down a peg. The Chiefs, who everyone is concerned about. You know, the Chiefs, defending Super Bowl champions. You got Patrick Mahomes. You got Travis Kelce. You got Andy Reid. They fell to the Green Bay Packers, who look really good. Not much of a concern for the Ravens as they're an NFC team, but Packers look good. And they took care of business against the Kansas City Chiefs. Browns, of course, lose to the Rams. Joe Flacco being the double agent. Talked about it on social media. Joe Flacco looked good. I mean, he's a little rusty. He hasn't played in a while. He's my age, pretty much. So he still has an arm. He looked good against the Rams, who we'll talk about later on. But careless mistake. I'm calling it a mistake. Maybe a favorite to the Ravens. Not against the Rams. Was it against the Rams? It was against the Rams. Yeah. So that dropped the Browns down. Good job, Joe Flacco. He looked good. So we'll see how he does. He goes up against the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. But Steelers lose. Steelers lose to the Cardinals. And I've been saying it for weeks. Remember, in the beginning of the season, I had the Steelers as the number two team in the AFC North. But Kenny Pickett is not the answer. Fire Matt Canada all you want to. Nothing's going to get done. It's not a Matt Canada issue. It's a Steelers offense issue. Mike Tomlin's doing the best he can with that unit. But it's not shaking. So the Steelers lose to the Arizona Cardinals, probably the worst team in all of football. Maybe the second worst. The Patriots look terrible. Who, guess what? The Steelers play next. So we'll find out how bad the Steelers really are. Their offense is inept. They're not much of a contest, not much of a competition. So that Week 17, Week 18 game against the Ravens, I wouldn't worry about it if you're a Ravens fan. The Steelers is finally showing us who they are, and that's not a very good football team. So yeah, those teams lose. The Ravens stay atop. We had Rita Hubbard, the NFL chick, on. We talked about how the Ravens probably aren't going to get the number one seed because they have a tough road ahead. They have the Jaguars. They have the 49ers. They have the Dolphins. They have the Steelers. And up first are the Rams. So definitely a gauntlet of opponents to face. But if these top teams continue to lose, if they continue to lose to inferior opponents, the Ravens have a good shot at winning that one seed. And I told you guys on social media, it's not about records. It's not about 9-3 versus 9-3, 8-4 versus 9-3, 9-3 versus 6-6. It's about matchups. Who do the Ravens match up well against, and who don't they? And I've said it for weeks. The one team that the Ravens are going to have struggles against are the San Francisco 49ers. And you saw what they did against the Philadelphia Eagles, a team who's eerily similar to the Ravens in some regards. Not all. The Eagles' defense is a little underwhelming, to say the least. But The Ravens are going to have their hands full against the 49ers coming up on Christmas Day. That's a couple of ways away. We're going to focus on the last Los Angeles Rams, but these are the things that we need to consider. The Ravens have a good shot to get the number one seed. Don't worry about those other teams. Let the Ravens handle business. They're a top seed for a reason. Well, number two right now, but tied for first, if all things considered. So, big time week for the Ravens. Bye week couldn't have gone any better. If you're a Ravens fan, you definitely loved what you saw. And the Ravens will move forward to the Los Angeles Rams. But before we get to that, we'll come back quickly after a short break and get to that mailbox questions. We have a couple of Ravens fans who have some questions regarding the Ravens. Not much about the Rams because I think fans aren't really worried about them, but we'll talk about how that may not be such a good idea. We'll have that next on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. As I mentioned earlier, we have the Ravens Talk Mailbox. Last week, we started it up, first edition. It went really well. Got a lot of good questions from you guys, and I want to start picking this up, getting some more tough questions. So you guys keep on bringing in. Thank you for the guys who brought in questions last week and continue to do so this week. So we'll get into it. Just pull up my phone right now. First question from Kylie Watt, who asks, who was the best to ever play on the Ravens? That's a good question because there's a lot of opinions on that. Of course, the first answer that many will turn to is Ray Lewis. For me, not so much. I mean, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. Definitely, when you think of Baltimore Ravens, you think of Ray Lewis. And for good reason. He was very dominant as a middle linebacker for the Ravens. But I think that there are some other players who can really stake that claim. I think of Jonathan Ogden. Jonathan Ogden, in my opinion, was the best left tackle in the history of the game. I might be showing my bias with that. But no one played the position with more effortless, I would say, movement. I mean, it just seemed like he wasn't even trying out there at times. And I always thought that maybe if Jonathan Ogden was in a better offensive scheme in those earlier years, that he would get a lot more clout as being, in my opinion, the best left tackle in the history of the sport. But you ask who I think the best Ravens player of all time is, no question about it, in my opinion, Ed Reed. Ed Reed revolutionized the position. In fact, Ed Reed was so good as a player that we really haven't seen a player come close to his caliber ever since. I mean, we've had Tyrann Mathieu, you know, other guys come in. Jamal Adams comes to mind, who really is, you know, we won't get into that because Adams did some stuff on social media that really, really irked me. But, you know, we got Kyle Hamilton who's coming in, who's looked in all facets a great safety, potential Hall of Fame caliber safety in just his second year. But Ed Reed, no one's come close to Ed Reed. He's just phenomenal, the best to ever do it. Of course, I've talked to Ravens players past and present who say that sometimes he'd leave him out the dry because he was so certain about a certain play going a certain way that he wouldn't have time to communicate that to his teammates. He'd just jump on the field and jump that route and most of the time intercept it and take it to the house. So that's the type of player Ed Reed is. Also, a great leader. I think a lot of people make the assumption that Ray Lewis was the leader of that team. And in some regards, he was, especially on game day. But in that locker room, I think to a man, if you'd ask them who the leader of that team was, they'd point to Ed Reed for sure. Ed Reed was a phenomenal player in that locker room and for the league. I mean, still, to this day, there hasn't been a player quite like him. So for my money, I think the best player in the history of the game, at least for the Ravens, Ed Reed. Next question we have here is from Amastria95. Why do you think Zay only has 3 touchdowns for the year? And by that, I'm sure they mean Zay Flowers. I love this man. And, you know, I love him too. I think he's a phenomenal receiver. He is a rookie. Only 3 receiving touchdowns. I guess 2 touchdowns as a receiver and 1 as a rusher. And then 1 against the San Diego Chargers. I say San Diego. Forgive me. The Los Angeles Chargers. They should still be in San Diego, though. Shout out to my people in San Diego. But I regress. Zay Flowers not reaching the end zone. I'm kind of wondering that myself. But the more I think about it, the more I realize that the Ravens are really death by a thousand cuts. I've used that term quite often on this podcast. When they get to the red zone, you want to find the biggest body to throw that ball up there, make them make a play for it. Of course, there are situations in which a smaller receiver, a shiftier receiver, they pay dividends. That'll be like a screen or end around that you saw a couple of weeks ago. But you want guys who can go up there and grab it. And Zay Flowers hasn't really had the tools at his disposal as of yet. Remember that he's a rookie to make an impact in the red zone. But I think that's going to change. You know, Mark Andrews is no longer with the team, at least for the moment. And Lamar has to find other guys to get the football to. And you saw Zay Flowers' first game without Mark Andrews begin to show himself. So I think you'll see more of that. I think their touchdowns will increase. You'll get probably more, maybe four or five more before the season's out, hopefully for them. But yeah, you know, Rashad Bateman, Isaiah Likely, OBJ, those are the receivers you're going to see in the red zone really get targeted more so than Zay Flowers, who, in my opinion, is still a phenomenal receiver who's still shifty enough to get the job done. But I think the reason why, at least early on, he hasn't really been featured in the touchdown category as much as because of his smaller frame and his young stature. He hasn't really got the experience or the, you know, the camaraderie of Lamar Jackson to really be targeted, because, you know, it's a lot of body. It's a lot of mass. People don't realize in the red zone, it's a short inches to go maybe sometimes between you and the goal line, and you got to find the biggest body you can who you know will make the short catch. Again, this isn't knocking Zay Flowers. I'm just saying that early on, this is likely the reason for his inability to reach the red zone or the end zone, I should say. I expect that to change as the season winds down to a conclusion. Last question from Ant-Man 75. Do you think that PQ will stay? And for those of you who don't know, PQ is Patrick Queen. Do I think he stays? I don't think so. I think Patrick Queen is pricing himself out of Baltimore. I think that his relationship with Roquan Smith is admirable. I think that the Ravens may use that to their benefit in contract negotiations. I think we can all agree that Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith are the two best linebackers. That duo is the best in football. So the Ravens will love to keep him. I'm sure of it. And maybe not picking up that fifth-year option was not the right move, all things considered now. But that lack of extension might have brought out the best in PQ. Those two have been working well in tandem. They're doing an excellent job. And they're going to need him against these teams like San Francisco coming up, where they use tight ends a lot and running backs. You're going to need guys like PQ and Roquan. So I don't think he gets signed. I think he's going to price out. I think Ravens fans need to understand, especially moving forward, because of the Lamar Jackson extension, it's going to be difficult to sign their players. It's going to be really difficult to bring back guys. So that's why when we talk about Geno Stone, PQ, you know, the list goes on and on of players who are in the last year of their contract, who have showed out, balled out in 2023. We're not very comfortable. We assume they're gone. Now, maybe the Ravens make one or two things happen, but the Ravens are going to need to look to the draft and hope they hit. And that's what these teams, you see teams like Kansas City, prime example, they're now struggling, you know, without weapons on offense. You know, you get rid of Tyreek, they say you're paying him big money. You have enough to get Travis Kelce, but, you know, you shut down Travis Kelce, what do you have? Not a lot, as you're finding out. So very hard to pay these quarterbacks big dollars and sustain the offensive potency and defensive stoutness on your roster. It's going to be tough. So fans should expect that. That's why it's very important that the Ravens get the job done this year, while you still have these cheap all-stars on your team, because next year is going to be tough. I'll tell you that. The cap isn't looking friendly for Ravens fans, and the front office has their work cut out for them. I'll say that. Good questions. Ravens Talk Mailbox. Let's keep doing this every week. I think next year I'll probably have these questions exclusive for subscribers on my social media. We'll talk about that as the season comes to a close. But for now, it's welcome for everybody. Everybody come in and get your questions, and I'll try and answer them to the best of my ability. When we come back, we'll talk about the Los Angeles Rams coming to Baltimore. What are my thoughts? What do I think is going to happen? Concerns? We'll talk about it. We'll touch on it all next on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. The Ravens had their bye week. Couldn't have gone any better, if you ask me. Couldn't have gone any better. But now we move on. The Ravens have five games left. Five games. If they win all five, they win the AFC. At least that number one seed. They get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Do you want to come to Baltimore if you're an opposing team and face that Ravens squad at home? No. That doesn't mean that they don't get the one seed, that the chances of winning the Super Bowl diminish. I mean, it does. If I'm being quite honest, it does diminish, but it doesn't rule it out. I mean, every time the Ravens have won a Super Bowl, they've had to play in the wild card game. And we had Rita here last week and we talked about it. The Orioles got the one seed and looked flat afterwards. So maybe don't strive for that one seed. Let's focus on winning the division, which looks like they have pretty much in the bag. The Browns don't have their starting quarterback, even though they have elite Joe Flacco. The Bengals don't have their starting quarterback, but Jake Browning looked good. And the Steelers don't have Kenny Pickett, but it don't matter if they have Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky. It doesn't matter who's out there. They're trash. So I think the Ravens have that division in the bag, and they're focusing on getting healthy, looking hot. The hottest team in December and January usually is playing in the Super Bowl, so I'm sure the Ravens are honing on that. But we'll start with the Los Angeles Rams, a team who looked pretty good against the Browns. I know the Browns didn't have their starting quarterback, and Joe Flacco's only been there for a couple of weeks, so I'm sure the Browns didn't have exactly the game plan available to them that they wish they did if Flacco had been there from day one, I would say. The Browns' defense, much celebrated, didn't look as great. I mean, Myles Garrett is suffering from an injury. He was out there still, but, you know, he didn't look as explosive, to be honest. But that's the picture that Ravens fans saw. I'm sure fans are watching their second favorite quarterback, Joe Flacco, out there. So you know, there's not much to say out here. You know what the Rams bring. And I'm not concerned if I'm a Ravens fan. There are some things that pique my interest, but for the most part, the Rams don't have a premier pass rusher. And I've said this ad nauseum every week that the Ravens have had very, very tough times stopping premier pass rushers from getting to Lamar Jackson. And you've seen this season how many premier quarterbacks have gone down due to injury. You have to find a way to protect Lamar Jackson. I don't think they have much to worry about this week. I think Ronnie Stanley's injury needs to be discussed a little further. Is he being a detriment to his team? He doesn't look comfortable out there. Hopefully the bye week gave him 14 days of opportunity to get healthy and rest up and get his knees right, because he has been a liability. And that's not to his detriment as far as talent is concerned, but similar to what people are talking about with Jalen Hurts, if you're injured, are you hurting your team by being out there instead of getting healthy and getting right for the postseason? So that's something we'll need to discuss later. We'll find out how Ronnie Stanley does in this game, and maybe that will be a conversation for next week. But this week, the Rams don't really have that much of a pass rush. They didn't look very good, very stout compared to a Browns team or a Steelers team that the Ravens may be dealing with that might give them some trouble. So the Rams defense doesn't give me too much of a concern. It is going to be rainy. That's what it's calling for, some rain. It's going to be very windy. I think I heard up to 17 miles per hour. So not a lot of passing, which fits very well with the Ravens. The Ravens can run the ball. Of course, if they stack the box, we talked about it last week, the Ravens have the outside weapons to hurt you in the passing game. So we'll see. I know Lamar doesn't really like throwing the football in the rain. Lamar doesn't like the rain very much, period. He doesn't like it when it's cold. So 61 degrees, I think, is the temperature. The Rams are moving in from the very nice weather in the West Coast to the not-so-nice weather in the East Coast. So traveling, the three-hour difference is going to hurt that team for sure. We'll see. On the Ravens side, there's some things. It's not all rain. I mean, sunshine and roses over here in Baltimore. The Ravens really haven't had the success stopping the run in recent weeks as I would like. Right now, I believe they're ranked 11th in stopping the run, which isn't bad, but it's something that Sean McVay and that Rams offense can take advantage of. Kyron Williams has looked really good. Really good. He looked good against the Browns. If the Rams find a way to get him involved early and make this team two-dimensional and give Matthew Stafford some opportunities to work off the play action, it could be trouble. So the Ravens, hopefully during that bye week, Mike McDonald got him with his position coaches and found a way to shore up that defense that has been very uncharacteristic. Let's be honest. The Ravens' run defense hasn't been great. It's been okay, but it hasn't been great. So, and it's off tackle usually how these opposing offenses are getting them. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But that's really my only concern, is stopping the run, making the Rams one-dimensional. Matthew Stafford has had a masterful season, especially coming off that thumb injury, coming back. I believe he's thrown 8 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. So he's getting the job done. Now, I'm not really concerned about Matthew Stafford because the Ravens are one of the best pass defenses in all of football. I think they're really good at covering receivers. Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, those guys are I think the Ravens will they'll do a good job containing them. You know, Tyler Higbee, a tight end. I think Roquan and PQ can handle him. He's not really doing too much on offense. I mean, don't disregard him by any means. Sean McVay might see something on film that might get him open, but I'm not really too concerned with him. It's going to be all about, can the Ravens stop the run? And what can the offense do for the Baltimore Ravens? I mean, usually how it goes with the Ravens, they do well after the bye. I think that's one of the reasons why people are very confident. I believe the spread right now is about 7.5 points. That sounds about right. So we'll see. Can the Ravens do it? Can the Ravens continue to improve? The inconsistencies in offense reared its ugly head again. The Ravens scored 30-plus points, I should say, for 5 straight games and for throwing up 20 points against the Chargers on Sunday Night Football. So will the bye week help them or will it be to their detriment? Will they be a little rusty coming into Baltimore? These are the questions that I have lingering in my head after a 1-week hiatus. So in my opinion, the Ravens get the job done. I'm not really concerned about the Rams too much. Hope they don't have that mentality in the castle. I don't think they do because this is their last, I won't say gimme, but last winnable game. Like, I think the football world will be shocked if they lose. But the Steelers lost to the Cardinals, so it's any given Sunday. Don't sleep on the Rams. But following this Rams game, a gauntlet of foes. Jaguars. My God. Followed by the 49ers, who many are touting as the best team in football and for obvious reasons. Then you have the Dolphins. High-octane offense. The Ravens remember very well what the Dolphins did to them coming back and pretty much spoiling their day after being up 3 touchdowns. So the Dolphins can score at any time. Then you have the Steelers who suck. You know, Steelers are garbage. Hopefully the Ravens understand that and don't drop passes like they did in the first meeting. But I will say there's 3 to 4 games after this Rams game that could go either way if you're a fan of football and you're rooting for the Ravens to win. So that's my spiel. I think that the Ravens get the job done, though. I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I've been right for the last 2.5 weeks. I picked the Bengals to win. I mean, I picked the Bengals to lose by 2 touchdowns and they lost by 2 touchdowns. I picked the Chargers to lose by 10 points and lost by 10 points. Now we have the Rams. I feel like I'm Midas. Everything I touch turned to gold. I'm definitely betting this week. Hopefully I'm right. I think that the Ravens win by 8 points. I think it's going to be a 24-16 win. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be muggy. I don't see how the Rams come into Baltimore, a red-hot team, well-rested after a bye. You know how John Harbaugh is after byes. I don't know how they come into Baltimore and pick up the win. They're fighting for the playoff spot. They are fighting. They're 6-6. They need this win. But the Ravens need this win, too. Ravens have to keep pacing the AFC. They have to stave off the Browns, who could win next week. They could win. So don't sleep on those Browns. Don't sleep on Joe Flacco. He gave the Ravens a favor once. Don't expect it again. It's so funny watching Joe Flacco perform. It's funny, and it's also nice to see. A lot of Ravens fans are excited for him, and I'm in that boat. I'm in that category. I'm rooting against them. I don't want the Browns to mess up my prediction of a Ravens 49ers Super Bowl, but it is nice to see Joe Flacco back playing some decent football. That's going to do it for us here at the Ravens Talk Podcast. Ravens Rams on Sunday. It's going to be a big, big test for those Ravens coming back from a bye. I think they get the job done. The Rams are going to have their workout cut out for them. But as I mentioned, they can get the run game going. And the Ravens have had problems stopping the run recently. It could be a problem. But I think the Ravens find a way and get the job done. We'll see you next week. It's going to be a big game. The gauntlet begins. The race to the postseason begins. The race to that number one spot in the AFC and the possible bye is going to heat up after this game. So hopefully The Ravens get the job done and keep pace with the Miami Dolphins. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.